Okay, let's call the meeting of the August 9th, 2012, meeting of the Third County Board of Adjustments.
Miller.
Here.
McGill.
Here.
Steelmeyer. Scarlett.
Here.
Steel absent.
You've all received a copy of the agenda for tonight's meeting. Any changes or additions that anyone has to add? We'll get a chance to put a closing statement in there. We'll closely and deliberate and we'll not accept any other information that's just said during this time. So, with that, we'll move on to the CUP 02-12, the Jensen Conditional Use Permit.
I must reflect for the record that I'm going to receive the following consideration.
Noted. Charlie? Okay. As you had mentioned, this is CUP 0212. It's the Jensen Conditional Use Permit request. The proposed use that you'll be reviewing is for a golf course in the A1 zoning district. The appellant or applicant on this one is Dixon and Luann Jensen, general property location. It is in Section 23 of Washington Township. It's located at 3935 South U.S. Highway 69. Roughly in the northwest corner of South U.S. Highway 69 and Timber Creek Drive. The property is a little over 20 acres, currently being used for agricultural crop production. It does contain a farmstead as well. Looking at the land use framework map designation, it is under the preview of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, which is a component of the Story County Development Plan, does designate the property as agricultural and farm services with some environmentally sensitive land. The entire property is also located within the Ames Airport Protection Area. This is a map here of the property. You can see the property here in the yellow hashes, Highway 69 running north and south. You can see the City of Ames here in the tan-colored area, the City of Ames Airport over here. The appellants in this case are proposing what they call a golf performance center. While the layout is not your traditional golf course, staff does feel that the plan does fall within the definition of a golf course. That definition does state that a lot, parcel, or tract of land laid out for at least 9 holes for playing the game of golf, whether public or private, and improved with tees, greens, fairways, and other game-related hazards within which the area is not artificially illuminated. It goes on to say a golf course may include a clubhouse, restrooms, a driving range, pitch and putt practice range, and shelters as accessory uses, but does exclude mini golf courses. The clubhouse may provide additional services customarily furnished, such as swimming pools and related retail sales that may include a restaurant and cocktail lounge if approved as part of the required conditional use permit. This particular proposal includes 12 greens and holes, with various tees, fairways, and hazards. There is proposed to be one building associated with the site that will have locker rooms, video camera equipment, as well as a shelter for golfers for driving practice. The proposal is meant to be private in nature. However, the applicant will allow the Iowa State University men's and women's varsity golf teams exclusive access to the site. The application did note that the State of Iowa Board of Regents has approved Iowa State University entering into a long-term, year-round lease agreement with the applicant for their use of the proposed facility. Going over some of the findings facts that we had outlined in the staff report, first of all, the area does contain a single-family dwelling, which was built near 1952. The property has been in the A1 zoning district since Story County first adopted zoning. That zoning ordinance number one, did allow for golf courses as a permitted use. With a zoning ordinance amendment in 1977, conditional use permits were added to the zoning ordinance of Story County, and at that time, golf courses were listed as a conditional use. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan, a component of the development plan, does designate the property as agricultural and farm services with some environmentally sensitive land, and again, the entire area is located in the airport protection area. The applicant did attend a conceptual review meeting with the Area Agency Review Team on June 13th of 2002. The application was submitted to Story County on June 15th of 2012, and the proposal at that time underwent the usual interagency review. And then letters for this particular meeting were mailed on July 25th and legal notices published on July 26th. The review criteria to which the Board of Adjustment shall review a conditional use permit is listed here on the screen. It was included in your staff report as well. Going over some of the commentary that staff did add to those development criteria, first of all, approximately two-thirds of the land surrounding this site is in an agricultural use. While that number shows the majority of the land surrounding the property being in an ag use, that number would be considered low when compared to most of Story County's unincorporated area. This site's north and west sides are about one-quarter mile from the city of Ames, and areas this close to Ames typically have a greater amount of non-agricultural uses. We did note that there are 7 estate lots directly to the south and southwest of the site, as well as 3 rural residential lots to the southeast. The land development regulations do allow for golf courses as a conditional use in the A1 zoning district. And in prior versions of Story County zoning ordinances, the golf courses were allowed as a use in the A1 zoning district. The concept plan included in this application does show a mowed berm, pond, and native plant area on the site's south side, trees on the west side, a native berm on the north side, and a parking lot and structure that will have a rural appearance and is intended to look like a barn on the east side. Those factors do provide a buffer for suitable transition between surrounding properties and uses. The egress is provided through an existing 35-foot wide driveway off of South U.S. Highway 69. And according to the Iowa DOT's annual average daily traffic counts, this area of Highway 69 has traffic counts of approximately 7,100 cars per day. The application materials submitted show that the potential daily users from the Iowa State University golf programs are 22, and the concept plan shows a parking lot with 17 available parking spaces. For golf courses, a maximum of 3 spaces for every hole plus 1 space for every 200 square feet of enclosed area is allowed. With that, staff would estimate that the proposed building to be around 3,000 square feet, which would allow for a total max of 15 parking spaces, and the 12 holes would allow for 36 maximum parking spaces, bringing the total maximum allowed of number parking spaces to 51. And again, this site plan does show 17, so it is well under the maximum amount allowed. And according to the applicant, minimal signage and lighting is expected with this proposal. However, if used, up to 32 square feet of external signage is allowed, which again, cannot exceed 20 feet in height, cannot be illuminated, and cannot be portable. And aluminum internal signage is allowed. Excuse me, unlimited internal signage is allowed. And by definition, a golf course is not allowed to be illuminated artificially. This property is within the South Skunk Creek watershed. There is a creek that enters the property on the southern portion of the west side of the property, flows into a small pond at the southwest corner of the property, and empties into a larger pond on the western edge of the south property line. This particular property does not contain any floodplain. The site has a change of elevation of roughly 20 feet, with the lowest point of the site being located where that small pond is located on the southwest corner, and the site's highest point located towards the southeast corner of the property where the farmstead is located. And then looking at the drainage of the property, it does drain to the north, northeast, and to the southwest, and those areas of the property are proposed to be planted in native planting, which will help control runoff from this use. The map up here, aerial photography will show elevation of the property. You can kind of see, doesn't show the numbers here, but this would be considered the highest point right here. And you can see how the property kind of drains, and then from up here to down here, and then to the lowest point being where that pond is located right there. So if that makes sense, you can again kind of see how the property just drains a little bit that way into that pond area. Looking at the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation, they did recommend approval on July 2nd of 2012, with a condition being the development application for this property shall be accompanied by a FAA determinant of no hazard to air navigation. And that, again, that's from the FFA, and that's more or less to help us with that airport protection area located on the fringe plan. And I did recommend that we forward that recommendation to the Board of Adjustment tonight. I'm going to show you a map here real quick of that airport protection area. Here again, you can see where the property is located. You can see the Ames Airport right here, City of Ames over here. This kind of blue-yellow dotted line is what's considered the Ames Airport Protection Area on the fringe plan. And again, you can see that property is well within there. Does somewhat line up to this runway right here. More or less what that FAA determination is going to help us with is saying that the building out there is not too tall to disrupt any air travel coming in on that runway right there, which I don't think we expect to happen at all. It doesn't look like that building is going to be that tall either, but again, just to have all our ducks in a row and make sure that we are in compliance with any federal regulations on this. With that, your four conditions are listed on the screen here above and were also included in the staff report. So if there's any questions of me at this time, I would be happy to answer them.
So with that, we'll ask, does the applicant have anything to say this evening?
On behalf of the applicant, Mr. Jensen, he's here as well. If you had any questions for us, we'd be happy to answer those. We've been through the interagency review process, and all of the departments within the county are invited to that. At that time, expressed no concerns. We've got a unanimous recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission as well. We really feel that this is going to be a high-quality, top-notch facility, if you can call it that, within that area. We also believe that it's consistent with the zoning, and as long as a permit is required. Another thing to keep in mind is that the applicant himself, along with several members of his family, live in that area as well, and great pains are being taken to make sure that it's low impact and very pleasing to the eye as well.
Mm-hmm. We have any comments from the public? My note, did you get any phone calls, letters, or anything associated with your public notifications?
Nothing with the public notifications. We had a few inquiries early on during this development review process. Just for the record, the applicant has started some earthwork out there and moving some dirt, and we had some questions about what was going on there related to that. We don't ever stop earthwork or earth moving, for example. We don't have any sort of grading permits that we require. So we've always told applicants at that point you're able to move along with that sort of work on your own risk. If the Board of Adjustment, for whatever reason, were denied the permit at that point, then obviously that work was for no good. So those are really the only questions that we had.
There's no need for a closing comment at this point in time then. Okay, we will now close this hearing and move on to the deliberations to talk about CUP 0212. The findings of facts are relatively brief in this case. Does anybody have any concerns or comments on the findings of facts?
Move to adopt the findings of facts in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment.
Second that.
Okay, we've got a motion from McGill and a second from Larson to adopt the findings of fact in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment. Yeah.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye. Okay. Then we have to go to the decision, and if you remember, you've got the in your output there, the things that we've got to consider as we go through this is the compatibility, which I believe was addressed by staff, the transition, the traffic issues, if there's any, parking and loading, signs and lighting, and environmental protection. Are there any concerns or questions associated with any of those particular items? And I know staff was pretty clean on everything as we went down through that. Then additionally, once we have that, there's one other item, there are several items actually, that as long as we are comfortable with the development criteria, that we have to conclude that there won't be any problems with safeguarding health, safety, and general welfare, impairing an inadequate supply of light and air, congestion, diminished repair property values, and items like that. Any concerns on those items? Okay. Hearing none then, I would ask for a motion on the decision.
I move to adopt a decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we've got a motion from Larson, second from McGill, to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustments. Roll call.
Miller.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Okay, then we go to our actual order. I'm assuming we've got a recommendation following with planning and zoning, which would essentially be item number one, that we've accepted the decision, but we'd add the single condition that was in there following for the FAA determination as we go. Motion on the order.
Move to approve the request to the request of the planning and zoning.
We've got a motion from McGill and a second from Larson to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP02-12 as discussed by the Zoning Board of Adjustments and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments, finding that all the applicable standards of approval have been satisfied with the single conditions of the FAA approval. Roll.
Scarlett.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye. Okay. Your request is approved.
Did you follow
that? Now, we don't have a second one on there. Did you print out your information?
On
there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We both got, I got that? Okay.
Yep.
Good.
No.
This is more or less just a template.
Okay.
Okay, we will now move on to variance 02-12 from the City of Zering. Charlie?
And I will be acting on Ryan's behalf at this meeting tonight, so I'll try to answer all the questions as best as I can. But again, the applicant on this particular request is the City of Zering. It is generally located in Section 21 of Lincoln Township at the northeast corner of Main Street and U.S. Highway 65 in Zering. Size of this particular area is just a little over half an acre in size, so not a buildable parcel by any means as far as single-family dwelling goes. Current zoning is A1 agricultural, and the property is exempt as the Iowa DOT does own the property. The city map here on the screen above, you can see the City of Zering out here to the east. You can see Highway 65 running north and south here, Main Street coming into the City of Zering, and that parcel there in the red is the subject property that we're looking at. The land use framework designation for this particular property, it's in the cooperative planning area tier 3 of the development plan, and the requested action is for a variance to the total cumulative sign area of the land development regulations section 9.3 to allow for approximately a 168 to 192 square foot city entrance sign. Section 9.3, as you are well aware, allows for a total maximum cumulative area, I believe, of 36 square feet. Findings of facts, the parcel currently contains a city entrance sign that is approximately 126 square feet and is considered a legally established non-conforming structure as the sign was built prior to any sign regulations that Story County has in place now. The applicant has proposed to replace the old dilapidated sign with a new sign, again, that measures approximately 168 to 192 square feet. And the application did undergo the usual interagency review on July 11th of this year, and there were no significant comments received from the team during that review. going back here real quick, actually, and I said 36 square feet, I believe, but it actually, the total cumulative sign area allowed in the A1 zoning district is 32 square feet. Looking at the legal principles, first, the finding of a necessary hardship. Staff comments on those are the proposed sign is to replace the old dilapidated sign that, according to the applicant, is approximately 125 square feet. The new sign will be not much bigger than that 125 square foot sign. The old sign was placed prior to when the total cumulative sign area regulation was in effect, making it a legally established non-conforming structure. The current and proposed sign are of average size when compared to other city entrance signs throughout the country. A city entrance sign meeting the current regulation would lack the visibility that is provided by other city entrance signs. The applicant is a government entity that wishes to place a city entrance sign on state property. This is the only feasible place to locate the entrance sign as it is the entrance of the town and is off a major highway. The property owner on the south side of Main Street, where there is actually a commercial zoning district, would not allow the sign to be placed there. And for comparison on that, the commercial zoning district doesn't have any limitations on the total cumulative area for signs. So, again, if the sign were to be placed across Main Street on this one, it actually would be allowed by right. Looking at number two, the sign regulations are in place to limit the location and intensity of commercial advertisements throughout the county, more or less. You look at the A1 zoning district in a whole, and we're trying to make sure that we don't have large signs popping up out in the middle of nowhere. Looking at this one, the A1 zoning district, not really out in the middle of nowhere, but again, the zoning district that is in place is the A1 zoning. The proposal is for a city entrance sign that is appropriate and standard for all incorporated areas throughout the world. The sign will actually improve the aesthetics of the area beyond what is currently there, and if anything, the proposed sign promotes the public interest. And looking at the last standard of or the last legal principle, the adopted Story County Development Plan is oriented towards protecting and preserving the county's agricultural resources, protecting and preserving the county's natural resources, and promoting and improving the mobility of county residents and fostering cooperation and collaboration between rural and urban areas. The adopted Story County Development Plan is oriented towards protecting and preserving the county's agricultural resources. This is repeating exactly what I just said, so I'm questioning. As far as this is concerned, the proposed city entrance sign is well within the spirit and intent of the county development plan. The statement of intent for Chapter 9 signs does state that the purposes of these regulations are to encourage the effective use of signs, to protect and enhance the aesthetic environment, and to create an environment that promotes economic development, and to protect and improve pedestrian and traffic safety. The city entrance sign that is proposed is well within the intent provided above. Looking at the comments as part of the official record of this variance case, again, as we had mentioned earlier, there were no concerns notified by the interagency review team. This property is not located in a special flood hazard area as defined by FEMA, and letters were mailed to surrounding property owners regarding the subject hearing on the request, and there was no public commentary received or recorded at the time the staff report was published. With that, your four very simple alternatives are listed on the screen there above, and if there's any questions on this variance request, I would be happy to answer them.
I have just one procedural question, just out of curiosity. Here we are, we've got the owner of the parcel's DOT, but the requester is not the owner of the parcel. Is that
typically what we do in this case, and we'll have this come up all the time with property owners and contractors, for example, when building a house, and I believe this was satisfied in this case, but we'll just have whoever the property owner is more or less give consent for somebody else to act on their behalf on such a request, and I believe that's probably what we got with this one, was the DOT.
Verbally or otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, usually we'll get an email or something to that effect, something formal that we can at least put in within the file.
The procedural aspect of it. Obviously, I've not been around one of these before, so this is kind of a question relative to the regulations. Clearly, staff is, you know, in favor of this as being consistent in the fact that a similar sign across the street would be fine, but right here, I assume doesn't make sense to consider in the future changes to the land development reg, just because this doesn't come up very often, that it's probably just as well that we deal with it on a very case-by-case.
Yeah, and again, and like I had tried to point out in the presentation, the point of limiting to 32 square feet in the agricultural district is so we don't see signs that are popping up out in the middle of nowhere, 200 square feet, for example. This area, although it is zoned A1 agriculture, you know, if they were to bring a rezoning in, for example, to get that property rezoned to commercial, which I just checked and I said I didn't think commercial had a limit, but it does. It's actually 300 square feet limit on the commercial area. But nonetheless, if they were to bring a rezoning forward to rezone this as commercial, it definitely fits in with that. However, just to have the applicant rezoned to commercial just for to place a bigger sign on the property, I guess to me doesn't make all that much sense. So again, and that's why we're here tonight. But yeah, this area is zoned A1 agriculture. Doesn't mean that's the most appropriate zone to be placed on there, but that's kind of our base zoning district. You know, everything at one point was probably zoned agriculture and then changes over time when we have a request or when the board looks to change it. So.
Much bigger, it doesn't block any vision driving coming out onto.
And the sign itself, and I'm kind of familiar with what's out there right now, and you said it would actually be shorter than this sign, but I think from the sounds of it, it might be a little bit wider and just a lot nicer looking. So, yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions for staff? Okay. If not, we'll turn over to the applicant if they'd like to say anything this evening. Okay. That's pretty straightforward. Okay. We'll move on to findings of the fact to see if anyone has any questions and would like to propose a motion for the finding of the fact for VAR 02-12.
Move to adopt the findings of fact and staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
We've got a motion from McGill, a second from Fielmeyer, to adopt the findings of fact and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment. Rule?
Fielmeyer? McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Then you saw in the staff report, and I'm not going to read down through them, but to adopt the decision, we've got to deal with issues, and I think you brought up some of them, of unnecessary hardship. Granting the grievance won't be contrary to public interest in the spirit and intent of the Story County Land Development Regulations. Any conversation or... Okay. And ask for a motion then.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion from Fielmeyer, a second from Larson, to adopt the decision regarding the legal principles in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments without modification. So, I want that. Okay, roll.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Fielmeyer? McGill?
Aye.
Okay, then we come down to the final order.
Move to refer to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number 12. Okay. VAR 02-12, City of Zero. As discussed by the Board of Adjustment in the staff report prepared for, presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding all that all the applicable legal principles have been satisfied.
Okay. Motion from McGill, second from Fiedemeyer, to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case VAR 02-12, City of Zering, as discussed by the Board of Adjustment and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments, finding that all legal principles have been satisfied.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Steelmeyer?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. Okay. Request is granted. Thank you. Any other business we have? The board comments, staff comments this evening?
We will not have your regularly scheduled meeting, which I sent out, but there is still that training on September 10th beginning at 4. And I think Leanne plans on it going till probably between 6 and 6:30 because we're still having a commission meeting after
that's
that.
Here?
It's here. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I had down.
I know this has come up before, and I'm trying to remember, but I think that is covered under a state code requirement, and I'm not sure if we're able to apply any zoning regulations to them. Yeah, I don't know. I know there's one down on R38 that's been up for an election from 2 years ago that we've mentioned a few times that hasn't been taken down. And actually, I know there's a state code requirement that says they have to be taken down within a certain amount of time after the election's over with, but I can look into that and let you know. I'm not 100% sure on that. Yeah, I know we exempt signs under a certain, I think it's under 6 square feet, so a lot of those smaller ones just don't even matter. But yeah, the bigger ones, sometimes those will come up, but sometimes when your county supervisors put those signs up, it's kind of hard to enforce against them in some instances too. So I don't know if that's not why it has been, but yeah, I'll look into that and let you know.
And adjourn then. That's it.